It's that time in our service where we are able. It's probably the highest time of any worship service because it's the time where each one of us individually gets to come before the throne of grace and interact with our Savior. In the Bible, we read multiple occasions where Jesus spent time in prayer. How was it that Jesus was so successful in his life to remain faithful, consecrated, and victorious the whole time? It's because he stayed connected to his Heavenly Father. When he was tempted after baptism, what did he do? He went back to the words in Scripture, and he hung on those words. He spent time in recess praying. And just before he took upon the cross to save our souls, we read an entire chapter, a beautiful chapter in the Gospel of John, John 17, where Jesus prayed in earnest. And in verse 17, the most stirring words for me in that entire chapter, Jesus says, "Sanctify them," that's you and me, "by your truth. Thy word is truth." And when I read that, I hear Jesus calling his people through that prayer to stand united. Here we are 100 years into this congregation's history. How have we made it this far? Only by the grace of God. Amen? How are we going to make it into the future until Jesus comes? By remaining consecrated. I want to share with you from one of my absolute favorite books. It's a small, very simple, humble book, but it's called Steps to Christ. You like that book?
Yes.
Amen. Listen to what she says here in Steps to Christ. If we come to God feeling helpless and dependent, as we really are, and in humble trusting faith make known our wants to Him, whose knowledge is infinite, who sees everything in creation, and who governs everything by His will and word, He can and will attend to our cry. What do you say to that, friends? And will let light shine into our hearts. Through sincere prayer, we are brought into connection with the mind of the infinite. We may have no remarkable evidence at the time that the face of our Redeemer is bending over and looking at us in compassion and love, but this is even so. We may not feel His visible hand touching us, but His hand is upon us in love and pitying tenderness. When I read that, I feel almost shaken inside to think that the Creator, the Sovereign of our universe, who sees everything, who knows everything, bends His ear to listen to us. And He cares what we say. There's another passage in that same book, in Steps to Christ, where she says how prayer is our privilege, and we can talk to God as though we're addressing our friend. And she says that the angels watch us, and they, and I'm paraphrasing, by the way, the angels watch us, and it's as though they seem astonished that we pray so little when the fountain of grace is so readily available to us. Why do we spend so little time in prayer, friends? How do we get too busy for prayer? We get so busy sometimes, Elder Snayman, in our worship services, that we don't take time to really pray. So today we're going to have a congregational prayer. And here at the Midland Church, it's our custom that if something is pressing on your heart, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Maybe there is a praise in your heart and you want to signify that too. You're welcome to join us here at the altar. That lets your brothers and sisters know that we can say a special prayer for you in our mind. But to join us here at the altar, and we will kneel before the Almighty God, and we will pray in reverent prayer, asking for revival, for reformation in our hearts, for perfection of our characters, for cleansing from sin and restoration to righteousness this morning. What do you say, friends? Amen. So at this time, we will sing our prayer song, which is hymn number 671, or it'll be on the screen behind me. And as we sing, you can come forward as we're singing. Come and kneel at the front as far as possible. If you don't want to come forward, kneel where you are if possible. And we will approach the throne of grace this morning with confidence because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Dearest, loving Father God, here we are on bended knee before you. Before the sovereign of the universe, before the one who Isaiah saw sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, as he heard angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Oh, Father God, we do not comprehend your greatness. Our finite minds do not grasp the infinite. Yet we are told that through this humble and often meager means of communication that we have, that we can be connected to the infinite. And Father God, this morning we ask for a special connection to the infinite. Here we are in this building, Lord, that was constructed and dedicated to you. Here we are as a congregation who has survived many generations now, who's come along, who's lasted 100 years. And Lord, while we are here to celebrate how you have led us here to this point, we are here, Lord, to plead with you at the throne and say, please come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let us not celebrate another 100 years, Father God, but instead consecrate us to yourself in such a way that we would come in to the unity that Jesus prayed for, so that the world would know that you sent Jesus. Father, give us the unity that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 4 when he talked about the gifts that God gives in the ways of ministry. Paul said that pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and all of these things would exist until we all come into the unity of the faith, no longer being children tossed to and fro. Father God, we don't want to be tossed any longer. We want to be anchored in the rock of our salvation. We want to be completely saturated by the grace of Christ. Father God, we want to be forgiven of our sins and to be done with sin. Father God, we want to be victorious even as Jesus was victorious, for he said it himself that the works that he did, even greater things than these, should we do if we follow in his will. And Father God, that's a tall order. And we are here humbled, Lord, to think that the sovereign of the universe, who has the hairs of every head counted for 7 billion heads in this world right now, would care to listen to each one of us intimately and individually. Father God, we want to know you better, and we want you to know us. Jesus said that not everyone that comes to him in that last day would enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who he knows. We know you know everybody, God, but you want to know us intimately. You want to have a relationship with us. Please, Father, as we look back on how you have led us and we rejoice today and we praise you and we reminisce about the good times, let us not forget to look upward and onward to the prize, to that calling that's in Jesus. We want to go to heaven, Lord. We want to be in a much better reunion than this one even, where we sit at a banquet table and we don't have to part anymore. Father God, bless this day to your honor and glory. Let each participant in this service perform his or her duty with the heart of a servant, meek and mild and humble and selfless, empty of self but filled up with the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray that you would take a live coal from the altar and that you would touch the lips of Elder Don Livesay this morning. Put words in his mouth, Lord, that we need to hear, that stir us up so much that when we leave here, we are so convicted and we are so stirred that we have a reconversion experience to Jesus today. And let us, Lord, leave this place today recommitted, refreshed, rejuvenated, and ready to meet the Lord when he comes. For this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.